Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones." And so today I want to speak on the subject, our need for God's direction. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word. We thank you for the truth that it contains to guide our way. We just pray, Lord, you would help us as we look over this passage that is fairly familiar to us all. Help us to not overlook the great truths that you have given to us in it. Help us to understand what you want us to comprehend this day, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And so this passage is a well-known, well-loved passage of Scripture. It's one that often from when we're a young age that we memorize. And it is a good one to remember. And we want to realize that there's a great deal within these few verses that is very valuable to us. Some of it, as we look at, just kind of like with last week, some of the truths are really quite basic and almost kind of, to state them is you don't need an explanation. They make sense. But it's something that we realize that there's a lot of times we need to be reminded of these things. There's oftentimes we need to get back to the basics of our Christianity. That there is a simplicity in Christ that the devil always tries to beguile us from. And so getting back to the simplicity can be a very important thing. And we see in this passage that it is in many ways kind of an exhortation and a warning. It challenges us to do something. It encourages us for the right path, but then it's a warning as well not to take the wrong path. And so we see that it's very kind of plain, and to sum it up, we could just very much say that it's clear that we need help, that we need God's direction. We need Him, and we need to rely upon Him. That we see that there is a right way given in verse number 5, and then the latter part, there's a wrong way. That it talks about that we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. That we are to put our full faith in Him, our confidence, that we can be bold in what He leads us in. We can be secure, we can feel safe, and have that assurance that we can be fully reliant upon God in every area of our life, and we can have full confidence on God, that we can trust in Him and what He says and how He directs, and we can know we're going to be led in the right way. But in the opposite side is what we are not supposed to do. It says, lean not on thine own understanding. That just as we're to put full confidence, full reliance, and full trust in God, we are to put no confidence, no reliance on our own understanding. That it would be a bad idea for us to do so. That what is our understanding, especially compared to God's understanding, our understanding is very non-existent. It's not something that can be counted upon. And it's kind of the thing where we think of leaning on is something where you can put your weight on and you know it's going to hold you. That someone would say if their leg was weak that they'd have a crutch. And it kind of gives the picture that if we were to lean on our own understanding, if that would be our crutch, that we're going to fall and we're going to hurt ourselves worse. That it's the thought that our powers of discernment as people are lacking. that we don't have what it takes to really guide ourselves in our life. And we see this expressed very clearly in Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23, and this is the prophet speaking, that he recognized this truth. He said, O Lord, I know that the way of man, this is verse 23, I know that the way of man is not in himself, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. That we don't have that capacity, that's not something that we possess, to be able to know and have a full understanding of life and what we're to do and how we are to go. That our understanding is faulty, it's flawed. That it actually talks about in Ephesians that especially before we were saved, that our understanding was darkened. And as we become Christians, it's something that we need to follow that light. We need to follow in His ways. But it's something that we realize that our natural understanding, our natural sense is lacking. That it's kind of one of those things where we talk about common sense. And it's kind of funny because common sense is something that doesn't seem to be very common anymore. That it seems to be a rarity. But we recognize that we have a tendency, if we're trying to discern, that we don't evaluate things well and we pick the wrong way too often. We see this in Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, and this is actually repeated again in Proverbs 16 verse 25. But in Proverbs 14 verse 12 it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so it's something that we want to recognize, that through our life we have many choices that we need to make, that we come to various crossroads where we have decisions to decide which path is the right path, which will get me to where I want to go. A lot of times that's the idea, is that we have a certain destination in mind. Say we have a problem that we're dealing with and we seek to find a solution to that problem, and which way am I going to take? And the thing is that again, we can stand at crossroads and we can convince ourselves this is the right path to choose, this seems like the best option, and we go down that path. But again, we discover that we were entirely mistaken. And it wasn't at all what we thought it would be. And I think all of us can testify at different times where there's something that we could say, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time, that we thought this would be something that would be good. Sometimes it can be like a monetary investment. We have different people have these kind of get-rich-quick schemes, and sometimes we make the mistake of jumping into something and then realizing this was a terrible mistake, and we try to get out of it as soon as we can. Sometimes it can be where we decide on a certain path, or we pursue after something thinking that it's going to be the thing that we need to follow after, when we realize that it wasn't the right way at all. But it's something that we understand across the board, that as individuals, as human beings, that we so often, this is the case, that there is a way that seems right, that makes sense to us, that fits with what we feel it should be, but we find that in reality, when we get to the end of it, the end of that is death. And we can think of several different examples of this. We think primarily, probably the biggest example of all is the way of salvation. Because you think of it, so many religions in this world declare that the way to God, the way to heaven, is you have to complete this certain list of things to do. That And people, a lot of times, they want to know, what is the list? What do I have to do in order to get to heaven? And so, for some, it could be, well, we have to do a certain amount of good deeds, or we have to do a certain amount of religious rituals, have to undergo different things, may have to be baptized, may have to be circumcised, may have to make a pilgrimage somewhere, may have to pray a certain amount of times a day, that all these different things, that there's so many people in this world we recognize follow after various religions to tell them these different ways that they are to live. And if they do these things, then they're going to make it to heaven. And it is a way that seems right, that people, it makes sense to them. That's how it should work. The good people get into heaven and the bad people don't. But we realize that in God's eyes, all of us are sinners. That no good works that we do is ever going to be sufficient to get us into heaven. And Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That there's not many ways to heaven. And that's the sad thing, is that nowadays there's a thought, well, there's many ways to heaven. Person can choose whatever way suits them. But we see from the scriptures that's not the case at all. That a person has to come through the Lord Jesus Christ, has to come to God in repentance and faith. There's not many ways to God, and that we just pick what fits. There's only one way, and we have to submit ourselves to His way. And there is no other way. It has to be through Christ. And it's not based on what we do. It is based on what we have done. And it's a sad thing, is that a person can invest their whole life in continuing in certain religious activities and rituals and other things, being convinced that's going to save them, that's going to deliver them from the punishment of hell, only to find out, only too late for many, that the way that they thought was the right way, that seemed to be the right way, was the way of death. And that is why it is up to us as people that know the true way, that we want to share people. And even though they may not appreciate it to have that laid out to them, it's something that they need to know, that this way that you're trusting is not going to lead you to the place that you hope it will. And that goes not in just in the case of way of salvation, although that is what we would say to be the biggest thought, but we think of so many in this world where they look for satisfaction and fulfillment in their lives. And so they follow certain ways, they choose ways which they think, which seems to them, will lead them to that satisfaction, to that fulfillment in their lives. And so they pursue after certain things, thinking, if I get hold of this, that this will satisfy me, this will fulfill my life. That some seek fame, some seek fortune, some indulge in pleasure, fulfilling their lusts, and thinking these things, if we embrace them, if we grab hold of these things, that they're going to satisfy me, they're going to fill me up. But so often what happens is they find, no matter how much they pursue after these things, there's still an emptiness that they cannot escape. And some may try other things to try to push that out of their mind. They may try alcohol and drugs, and some even do extreme sports. They become what we call adrenaline junkies. Just having these experiences, thinking that rush is going to be what fulfills them. But they find, so many, after a lifetime of pursuing these things, that they don't find that satisfaction, they don't find fulfillment. And not only do they not find what they want, that so often what they've done is they've given up things that are important, and they've destroyed relationships, they've destroyed their own health in the pursuit of things that aren't of any true value. And we see what the prophet Isaiah declared in Isaiah chapter 55, in verse 1, where he said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. That God is saying to so many, he's saying that the satisfaction that you're seeking in life, the fulfillment that you desire, you only find it in me. That if you truly thirst, come ye to the waters. And Jesus Christ himself lays himself out to the world as being the water of life. That if you come to him, that we'll never thirst again. And so we need to understand that. And there's so many people in this world today that they pursue after these things. They pursue after satisfaction and think these things will provide it for them. And it ends up not being at all what they think. But we can think thirdly of in terms of what people, what seems to be to many people the way to success in life. That they, and obviously all of us, if we are going to aim for something in life, we certainly want to aim to be successful. We don't want to aim to be a failure. That's obvious. But what path do we take in order to be successful? And even how do we even define what successfulness is? And that's part of the problem. Sometimes our idea of what success is flawed, and so we're never going to end up in the right place in the first place. But for many, that they go after this idea of success, and in order to get it, that there's many things that they start sacrificing on the altar of achieving that success. That it might be relationships that they have, that they don't spend time with their family because they're pursuing success in their business. For some, they may be taking advantage of relationships, or they might be kind of using people as stepping stones in order to advance themselves. And so many will spend their life and they may become successful by the world standards, but so often they get to the top and they realize, what was the point? That this was not worthwhile. We see this with in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, that this is Solomon, a man who actually went down this path. And he writes Ecclesiastes to tell us, I made a mistake, that this wasn't worthwhile. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, where it talks about of how, beginning in verse 7, I got me servants and maidservants, and servants bore my house. I had great possessions of great and small cattle of all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings. In other provinces, I gat me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great, increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. That he pursued after all these things, and he got all these things, and once he had them, he looked and says, why did I do this? This was a waste of effort. This was vanity. And it's vexing to my spirit, vexing to my soul. And we can really testify in what we know of Solomon's life, of how, yes, he was a great king in many different ways, and the glory of his kingdom was greater than any other time in the history of the nation. But yet so much happened that was brought spiritual destitution to his life, and ended up that because of his sin and the sin of his son, that much of the nation of Israel was rent from him. And so when we want to think in terms of success and really how to define that, what the path is that you take, that the Bible speaks of this, and God wants us to be successful, but we want to understand what he means by being successful and how he says for us to get there. And it's interesting because there's only one verse in the entire Bible in where we find the word success, and it's in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, and it says, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That you think about it in terms of our world, and who would, if they were to give a book on being successful, how many would actually say, well, do everything that God's word says, that most people being successful by this word standards, they would say completely ignore everything that the Bible says. But we realize that if we're actually going to be a true success in life, if we're going to accomplish anything of value, we need to follow the word. We need to do what God says. We need to follow his ways, because what the world judges as success is not going to matter in eternity. We want to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's when we will know if we are successful in that sense, if we have met with his approval rather than the approval of the world. And so we want to realize that that there is so much in this world that we see the truth of that verse in Proverbs 14, that there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But we recognize that this is as true of us as saved as well as of the lost, that there's many things that we can get caught up in and that we can pursue after, that at the beginning we think it can be a good thing, but then we can be entrapped in it and we can find that we've made a terrible mistake. That we think of today, that there's so many different things where we see Christians pursue after things that come up, that there's various winds of doctrine that are blowing, that people get pursue after and they get tossed to and fro by. There's many ideas that are presented of how to build a church, how to strengthen one's family. And we always have to ask the question, is this just the way that seems right to me? Or is this God's way? And we don't want to be relying on our own understanding and thinking, well, and a lot of times what the problem is we have is really kind of that, and they identify it as being kind of a herd mentality of the idea of jumping on the bandwagon of something, where a lot of times what happens is we see other people doing it, we see others rushing towards something, and we just assume that, oh, well, because other people are grabbing hold of it, then there must be something to it. I'm going to grab hold of it too. And there gets to be that where we don't want to stick out like a sore thumb. We don't want to be the oddball. And so we have a tendency to be brought along with the tide. But there is a danger to that. And we read in Matthew chapter 7. This was the Lord Jesus speaking, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. It says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And that's the thing, is that the path that is well trod, the path that everyone is going down, is usually not the right path. It is usually the path that is leading to destruction. That we don't want to just go with the crowd, think, well, everybody doesn't need to do the same thing. That from this we understand, and it can bear out through many things in history that we can think of, that the majority often are going the wrong way. And so the path that the majority is rejecting, that is the path they're ignoring, the path that they're forgetting about, that is the path that we need to find. And it's a thought that if we're going to follow God's ways, we're not trusting in our wisdom, we're not trusting in what the group is doing, that we need to say, Lord, I need your help. I need you to direct me. Where is your path? And it's something that we want to ask ourselves, this thought that why is it that there are so few that find the narrow way, the path that leads to life? Why is it that so many go to the path that leads to death, that leads to destruction? Well, first of all, we recognize that there is a devil that is actively seeking to deceive us, that he is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. That it's kind of the thing, if you're going to go somewhere where you've never been before, and nowadays if there's a lot of signs on the way, there's different things where they can help direct you, whether it's a map, whether it's GPS, road signs, and different things. But imagine if you were trying to get there and you had someone that was focused on making sure that you weren't trying to get there. And what could they do? That they would give you like a wrong map. They could put a virus in your GPS to give you all kind of weird coordinates. They could go and cut down the street signs or put down different signs and say, detour, go this way. There's so many things that we realize if someone is doing that, it's going to be a lot harder for us to find the right path. And that's what we realize is the devil, that's exactly what he's trying to do, is that so often he's trying to divert us, he's trying to distract us, he's trying to get us, look at this path, this is the path you want to go down. And the problem is too, is that he's very good at what he does, and he's very convincing, and a lot of times the path that he lays out to us is very appealing to our flesh. That who of any of us, if we have a path to go and someone tells us, oh, well, I've got a shortcut, a place, way you can get there faster. That's always what we're looking for. When you push something in on MapQuest or something like that, it always gives you the shortest route. You don't want to go the long way. You want to go the shorter way. But how many times have we sometimes done that, where we've taken a shortcut and we found this was a mistake, this was not a good idea to go? That sometimes, I know, like especially when you're going out on the grid roads, you think, well, I can get from A to B a lot faster if I go down this grid road, but then halfway through, you get stuck in the mud, and so what could have been a 15-minute journey that you thought you would save 5 minutes on ends up being a 45-minute journey because you spent half an hour digging yourself out of the mud. And that's what happens, and that's what the devil is actively trying to do. He's trying to deceive people, and he's very good at it. And we see it speaks of in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, where he says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." And verse 2 it says, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." That there's going to be this ways that where we look at it from the scriptures that this is false teaching, it is leading people astray, but the truth is many are going to be swept away by this false teaching. To the point that the way of truth is evil spoken of. And we can think of that in two ways, that ones that bear the name of Christ, if they're doing something that is contrary to God, that it actually puts the right way in the wrong light, and people reject it because of this false presentation of it. But as well, we can think of it in terms of the idea that there's the way of truth and there's this way of falsehood, and they make it so that the right way is looked down upon, that it's mocked, it's scorned, and this way that it is deceitful is lifted up as being the way to go, that you would be a fool, you would be uneducated to follow this way, but the smart people go this way. And really we have to recognize that. And the problem is that it so much appeals to our flesh in these different things. It appeals to our pride. And it's something that we we want to recognize our own tendency to do that, that we are our own worst enemy, that we're kind of like magpies, that sometimes we like anything that's shiny. It's not going to do us any good, but we want to pick that up and put it in our nest. And it's a waste to us, but we pursue after some of those things. That we have to be aware of that tendency with our own selves. But I think as well, the reason is that there be so few that find it. It's because there's so many that lean upon their own understanding. And that's something that we look at, that if we think that if I am on the straight and narrow path, that if I'm one of these few that have found it, sometimes we can get this thinking, well, I must be somebody smart that I figured it out. But we realize that we have to totally flip that around and realize that it's that attitude of thinking we've got it figured out. That's what so often leads us down the wrong path. It is rather when we have a humility and we say, I don't know, Lord, can you show me? That's when we're going to find the right path to follow. And we have too much confidence in our own wisdom. And a lot of times it's our pride that we don't, especially as men, we don't want to have to ask for directions. We want to be able to find the way ourselves. And if we're going the wrong way, we don't want to be willing to admit that. We want to pursue it to the end just to prove the person wrong, rather than turning around and going back a different way. That's part of our old flesh nature, that it does that to us. But if instead that we realize, no, I don't know what I'm doing. I cannot rely upon my own wisdom and understanding and discernment. It is not in me to direct my steps. If we learn that, then that's when God is going to show us His way. And we see that as we return to Proverbs chapter 3, that that's what God wants us to do. That's why He gives us this passage of Scripture, to lay out to us this truth, that we're not to lean on our own understanding, put no confidence in it, no reliance upon it, that we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And in verse number 6 it says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That it's the idea of acknowledging of Him, of recognizing His presence, recognizing His authority in our lives, recognizing that He is there to be our shepherd, to guide us in the way, to bring us into the place that He wants us to be in, of blessing, of fruitfulness. That we have to acknowledge Him in all our ways. And again, as we've seen in so many different areas in the Scripture, that three-letter word all is one that we have so much trouble with. That we trust the Lord with a lot of our heart, but not necessarily with all of it. That we trust Him over some of the big things like our salvation, but there's a lot of other things that we figure, no, I don't need to seek God's help in this. I can figure this out for myself. That we we acknowledge Him in certain parts of our life, but there's parts that we keep to ourselves. And when we do that, it is never to our good. It is always to our detriment. And that's what He wants us to understand, is that we need to acknowledge Him in all our ways, to surrender ourselves, say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I need Your direction. I need You to show me. And that we have a dependence upon Him, that we we don't just run ahead with what we think, that we spend time in prayer so we know what His will is. That we see the prayer of David in Psalm 86 in verse 11, where he says, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And that's our prayer needs to be as well, that we look at ourselves. I am the student. You are the teacher. I need your help, Lord. And we want God to help us to unite our heart to fear his name, that we know that our heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, that so often our heart is what leads us astray. And that's kind of the sad thing that you see so often at graduation ceremonies, that kids are given the instruction or encouragement, well, just follow your heart in life. And we would look at that as being, that's probably one of the worst bits of advice you can actually give a young person, is to follow your heart, because your heart is not going to lead you well. They need to follow the Lord. And so we think of this, that we want to be in a position of being ready and willing and recognizing our need for God to teach us his way. I remember my one teacher in grade 6, she brought us through about the history of China, and it was something that she really enjoyed, and so she had different things from Chinese culture that she shared with us. And I remember this one proverb, Chinese proverb that they had up on the wall of our schoolroom, and it went like this. It says, men are four. And it says, there is he that knows and knows that he knows. He is wise. Follow him. There's he that knows and knows not that he knows. He is asleep. Awake him. Then it says, there is he that knows not and knows not that he knows not. He is a fool. Shun him. Then there is he that knows not and knows that he knows not. He is a child. Teach him. And I think, again, of course, it's not Bible or anything like that, but we can recognize there to be truth in that. And we realize that there's very few that we could say would really, in this world, fit in the first two categories, that we don't have a lot of wisdom ourselves. But we have to ask ourselves, which of the latter two do we fit in? Do we think that we have it all figured out, and the case is that we don't, or are we a child before the Lord, and we say, I don't know, but I know that I don't know, and I need you to teach me. And that's what we have to do, that's what we need to do if we're to follow in his ways, because his ways are not our ways, and we're not going to figure it out ourselves. We're not going to just stumble across God's ways. If we're going to stumble in anything, it'll be something that's going to be a terrible mess to our lives. And we're going to be swept away by another deception of the devil, that we need to look to him for the help that we need. As it says there in verse number 7, it says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. That we don't think, well, I've got this figured out, I can handle this. And a lot of times that's what happens if we persist in sin in our life, that we get this idea sometimes, especially when we're young, well, I can dabble in this and it's not going to harm me. I'm going to step back from it before it gets too serious. I can play around with this and there's not going to be any consequences to it. And the fact is that's complete foolishness. That to try to say, well, this sin that has consumed the lives of so many other people, somehow I'm going to be stronger and better than other people and this is not going to consume me, it's not a wise thing at all. And so he's saying, don't do that anymore. That's foolishness. He says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. That we have an awe and a respect of the Lord. We honor him, that we don't indulge a little, that we depart from it, that we don't go down that road, because we know that road is going to lead us to destruction. And it says in Proverbs 14, verse 27, it says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. And that's something that really that we can take that verse and it can be a great guidance to us, because there's ways that seem right that we can pursue after, but it is a snare of the devil that will lead us to death, to destruction, to disappointment, to discouragement, to despair. But if we fear the Lord, if we walk in His ways, if we acknowledge Him and give Him authority over life, where we put ourselves before Him as His student, that we need to learn from Him, that's going to be a fountain of life to us. And it'll help us avoid a lot of these pitfalls. And it'll keep us on the way that He wants to take us. And it says there, if we fear the Lord, depart from evil, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And it's kind of that phrasing there is a little bit weird to us. We would think, well, what's the big deal of having a healthy belly button? But we understand from the culture of the time, it wasn't really speaking of the belly button itself being healthy, but everything that was behind it being healthy. And and the idea of marrow to thy bones, it's speaking of being healthy, being sustaining, being strengthening to someone. And you think of just how that there's so often things that happen in our life where what goes on mentally, emotionally, and spiritually can affect us physically. That many people have ulcers and different things that they deal with because they're worrying about different things. And a lot of times, it's the thing is that when we go a certain way and we find it's not going the way we want, we find out what a mess that we've made of it, and we wonder, how am I ever going to get out of it? That leads to so much upheaval in our lives, physically, mentally, emotionally. But if we're following the Lord, if we're putting our trust in Him, then a lot of that goes away because He's taking care of it. That we don't have to worry about how everything's going to happen because we know I'm on God's path and it's going to turn out fine. And these ups and downs are going to be part of it, but if I know I'm on the right path, then I know that He's going to see me through. And so with all of this, as we look at this passage, we recall what it says, that I hope it can be a help to each of us as we seek His ways, that we may walk in His paths, that we realize we need His direction, and we need to come before Him in humility, in brokenness, that we say, I've done doing it my way, I've done pursuing after these things that I thought was the right thing, because these paths that I've taken have nearly destroyed me. That we come before Him in meekness, in humility, and say, Lord, I need Your guidance. I need You to be my shepherd. And as we do that, that He will direct our paths. He will show us His way so that we can walk in His paths and be blessed thereby. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your word, and we just pray You would help us, Lord, to trust in You with all our heart, not lean to our own understanding, Lord. We recognize how many times that has led us astray when we have tried to do it our way or the way that we thought was right. And Lord, we don't want to do that anymore. We want Your ways. We want Your blessing. And Lord, we just pray You would guide us. Help us to be patient, to wait on You, to show us Your way. And may we follow it and learn all that You want to bring us through and bless us with. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll sing one more hymn before we conclude this morning, number 303.